Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, and thank you for joining us on another episode of Family Matters with Kenny and Quasman. I am one of the hosts for the show on tonight, Kenny, and I have my beautiful wife sitting next to me.
Hello, this is Quadrilling.
All right. So tonight, of course, is our Free Flow Friday, and on today, we will discuss real issues that families of all races and ethnicities may have. How can we deal with these issues as families, Christians, and as a society? Thank you again for joining us on tonight. Today's date is March 10th, 2017. The time now is 8:04 Eastern Time as we discuss our Free Flow Friday topics for tonight. For our streamers and listeners via Internet, if you want to call in and chime in on the topic on tonight, please feel free to do so by calling in at 657-383-1571. Again, that number is 657-383-1571. All right, so we'll go ahead and open up the lines. We have our first and only caller for tonight, ending in 4620. Caller, you're on the air. All right, phone line just dropped. But we're going to go ahead and continue. And tonight, I want to start off a little different. We're going to talk about something that we've talked about before as far as one of our topics. Okay. All right. We got our caller. We have our first and only caller back on the air. Caller ending in 4620. You're on the air.
I apologize for that. I accidentally cut us off, but I hope you guys are doing well.
Yes, ma'am. How are you doing tonight?
Hey, Faye.
I'm going through a few medical issues, but I know God got me.
Amen. Amen. Okay, well, since you said that, if you don't mind, can we start off with praying for you tonight? Because you know we love to pray. Amen.
Yes, please.
Amen. All right. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you, Heavenly Father, on Faye's behalf on tonight, Heavenly Father. And Lord God, we're standing in the need of prayer, Lord God. Father God, we pray right now, Heavenly Father, that you touch her body, Lord God, from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet, Lord God, and anything that's not like you, Lord God, and that we do mean anything, and that includes, Lord God, sickness, Lord God, any pain that she may have, Lord God, if it's not like you, Lord God, we ask that it be now removed right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Father God, we ask that you touch her limbs, Lord God. And strengthen her limbs, Lord God. We ask right now that you touch her vital organs, Lord God, and strengthen her vital organs right now, Heavenly Father. Lord God, we're standing right now, Lord God, and we're trusting on your word, Lord God, by faith, Heavenly Father, that what we're praying for tonight, Lord God, which is her healing, Lord God, her healing right now, Lord God, we're praying and trusting and believing, Lord God, that you, Lord God, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, Lord God, we're trusting that our Jehovah Jireh, Lord God, our provider, is getting ready to provide the health, Lord God, and getting ready to provide the healing that she needs right now in the name of Jesus, Lord God. For, Lord God, you can meet her need like no other, Heavenly Father, no matter how strong, no matter how smart or intelligent the surgeon may be, Lord God. Without your divine will, Lord God, or without your divine help, nobody would be able to do anything without you, Lord God. And we just thank you for that right now in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God. Lord God, we ask, Heavenly Father, that as we're praying, Heavenly Father, the things that we're praying for, Lord God, the healing that we're praying for, Lord God, that you're doing a mighty work in her right now in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Lord God, we love you, Heavenly Father. We honor you, Lord God. And it's in Jesus' mighty and matchless name we pray these in all things. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much.
Amen. Oh, you're very welcome. You're very welcome. We definitely thank you for calling in onto the show tonight. And we're trusting God with you, sis. We're trusting God with you that your healing, Lord, your healing right now in the name of Jesus is now. The time is now. And the word clearly says that now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Although right now we're talking on the phone, and we can't physically see what God is doing in your life right now, we're trusting, we're standing on faith, the now faith, the faith right now in this present and current moment, that he's doing a mighty work in you. And we just want to tell you we love you, and we're standing on a promise with you.
Thank you, and I love you too.
Yes, ma'am. All right. Well, I'm glad we got that prayer in, because I feel great about praying. I love to pray. Amen. I love to be able to communicate with our Father, our Abba. I love to be able to communicate with him. And we're gonna go ahead and open up the line on tonight and talk about this topic that I have first. And it really does literally touch home, touch very close to home. It's a story that took place recently with a current and former Bibb County sheriff, and he's now serving time right now and awaiting for trial on his charge for he was just charged, excuse me, for his sexual assault and his child molestation that he's facing right now. Possibly, and the young man, he was a former Bibb County sheriff, and he was recently released from, well, not even recently, a few years ago, he was released from the sheriff's department for indulging in inappropriate relationships with the inmates, as well as transporting contraband into the facilities, and he was later found guilty of that, and he was. After that, released from the Bibb County Sheriff's Department, and now he's been charged with child molestation charges for a 13-year-old teenager, a girl from Macon, Georgia. We're not going to disclose too much of the information right now, but we're just going to talk about it. And just based on what we've read, and you can read it too if you went on to the www.wmaz.com. And you looked up former Bibb County Sheriff charged with child molestation. I can tell you right now that it's a very sad situation. What's happening right now is based on the story that the young man was in an inappropriate relationship with a woman who was married, and her husband actually went on to social media and actually put something on social media about it prior to us seeing and her having any knowledge of it. She wound up having an inappropriate relationship with this man, who was the former Bibb County Sheriff, and he wound up asking her if he could watch her daughter. And once she said no before that, and then she eventually let him watch her. I'm not understanding why a 13-year-old needs to be watched, but neither here nor there. That's not really something that I see that's not a good idea to do. He wound up taking her to his home. He lived out in Lizella. He wound up taking her out to his home and watching a basketball game with her. And while watching a basketball game with her, I guess he later moved in to ask her if she wanted to wrestle, according to the story. And while wrestling, he started kissing on her and touching on her inappropriately and sexually. And with him kissing and touching on her inappropriately and sexually, this made the young lady uncomfortable. So make a long story short, mom and the daughter winds up going back out to his residence, and she winds up leaving. The little girl winds up leaving when she gets there. And she said she had to go out to the car. So she went out to the car, and she never returned inside the house. So mom and him went to look for her, and looking for her, I guess her brother called or something, according to the story, or uncle called, according to the story, and told her what was going on with the daughter. And she confronted the guy. And in confronting him, he told her that she didn't, he didn't have sex with her. Now, this story here, like I said, it really touches to home because, you know, I actually went to school with the guy who actually is being charged right now with the sexual molestation charges. And according to the story, his name is Ezekiel Jackson. He was a former Bibb County Sheriff, as I mentioned earlier. But what are your thoughts on this? If anybody has anything to say about what I just discussed right now, what are your thoughts?
Well, hey, Keisha.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
Good. Thank you for calling in.
No problem. Happy to do it.
Well, I used to work with juvenile sex offenders, and I guess the thing that I get out of this is that we as parents have to be, you know, it's not the parent's fault, not blaming a parent. It's just that we have to be diligent in some things. And, you know, it sounds like he may have already been grooming the little girl, you know, and we need to really be in touch with our instincts. You know, if she said no the first time, you know, listen to our instincts is what I'm trying to say. If she said no the first time when he asked, if he could spend time with the little girl, I believe that's what it was, he actually could spend time, and she said no the first time, and then he still came back and asked again, you know, that just makes me more aware that we have to, you know, just not ignore what we feel. Because that may have been the case. If she said no the first time, maybe she felt something. Maybe she was cautious. And then when he came back, you know, we don't really know what he said or whatever. And allowed, she allowed her you know, baby to go out there, and it's unfortunate that, you know, that she is now going through something like that. But one thing about, you know, sexual offenders is that they're usually signs. Most of the time, they're signs, whether we know to pay them attention or not, they're signs. They groom. That's what they do first. They groom their victims before they go in and actually you know, make their move. And so he probably had been grooming her for a while. You know, I'm sure if the mother goes back and thinks about it, maybe not, you know, she probably can think about some things. Maybe the little girl, maybe it all makes sense now, you know, because we don't pay attention to things. Hindsight is 20/20, especially with somebody that you trust and that you don't think would do anything like that. And it's just, to me, it's just a sad situation. You know, I pray for healing for the baby girl, for the mama. It's a sad situation. You know, the dad, the family. It's a sad situation. And I just think, you know, that we just have to just remember to be diligent, trust our instincts. You know, dads, trust your instincts, but moms, you know, we have a different type, and so we just have to trust that.
Okay, that was a good statement, honey. Very good statement. Does anyone else have anything to add to what we're discussing in this current moment? All right. Okay, so here's this right here is clearly a matter of we have to be very, very careful, and we have to be mindful of the our surroundings, because sometimes things like this can take place and it can happen when we're at our vulnerable, what we would consider our vulnerable moment, or what I would also like to add or include in that vulnerability is our moment of complacency. That's where we kind of let the guard down, and you know, we can just, it could just be a different relationship with somebody that we probably just known, and it seems like you've known that person for a while, and then you let your guard down quicker than you normally do when you get to know somebody, and then this here, of course, happens. Now, never in a million years, like I said, I went to school with this young man, and never in a million years would I have ever thought that this young man would have committed an act like this. Being first, that he served in the United States Marines. Not only did he serve in the Marines, he also became a sheriff in the Macon, Bibb County area. All right, so to a lot of people from the outside looking in, he's an upstanding citizen. But you know, deep down in his psyche and his mindset, you know, here he is having an inappropriate relationship with a married woman, right? But if you look at this thing just a little deeper, if you take a little time to kind of comb through this thing with a fine-tooth comb, he wasn't even really interested in the mom. He was interested in the little girl. And to me, that is very, very, very sickening, you know, for a grown man. And if you read the story, it says that he's 38 years old, pursuing a 13-year-old young lady. Now, I was checking out the story, you know, when it first hit the news, when it first was fresh off and on the social media with the news topic, and you went in, and I went in, and you know, I'm kind of like my wife on some things when I read articles. I kind of read comments and see what the people are saying, and a lot of the people were really, really, really just real mean and hateful, but. Some people was looking at this thing as, you know, it's mom's fault, but mom probably didn't even think nothing of that with this man like that. She probably didn't think of it like that. She probably thought, okay, whew, you know, that'd be good. You're giving me a break because I really need to run here and run a few errands. And in her running her few errands, he's even being convenient enough to come and pick her up. right? So she's working. So he was even convenient enough to come pick her up. So even in him grooming her, he was even being convenient for mom and showing mom, hey, look, here's my stamp of approval. I'll come and get her for you. You don't have to worry about it. I got her. You know, take care of what you got to take care of. We know you're at work. I got her. He's grooming this little girl while at the same time he's trying to win over and deceive this mom by thinking he's this guy that he really isn't. Because I think any person that will commit an act like that right there, your mindset is like really, it's really off. This young girl is 13 years old, you know, and I think girls hit their period as early as what, 11 years old, right? It depends on the girl, right? And she's still developing. And here you are, a 38-year-old man going in your 40s, knocking on the door of 40, and your mind is focused on this young lady, this 13-year-old young girl, while at the same time you're having an inappropriate relationship with the mom.
The way I feel is I don't really I wouldn't even focus on.
I don't blame the mom.
No, of course I'm not blaming mom. I wouldn't even focus on him, the relationship that he's having with the mom. That they're two grown people, they make their own decisions. So that makes no difference to me. But I do again think that, you know, we just have to be, because this is the thing, when you have predators, they prey, and a lot of them are in positions, trusted positions, the positions that we'll look up to, you know, because they gain people's trust. That's what a lot of them do, and in some cases, they do that. So if the victim does tell, people won't believe them. You know, who's going to believe this person did that? They're not going to believe you. You know, it's a thing of power and control, and so that's why we, as parents, and of course, I do not at all blame the mom. She was working a 12-hour shift. You know, she trusted. That was obviously some trust that she had because she did tell. She reported him. Some moms, you know, they don't. But she went right ahead. She confronted him. She reported. You know, from what I got from the story, it's not like she let it linger or anything like that. So to me, that would show that she wants what's best for her daughter. But again, the thing that I would, you know, take from that as us being parents, you know, to trust our instincts, to make sure we are diligent, to make sure that we are paying attention, because there are cases where people have been involved with people for years. I mean, you got people who are getting, you know, little girls and little boys, they're getting molested by family members, you know, that we would, you know, someone would never expect. And so, you know, just paying attention to things. But some people don't know what to pay attention to. I only know to pay attention to some things because of my previous job. Because if it weren't for that, then it's a lot of things that I probably wouldn't know. But, you know, listen to our kids, pay attention, and, you know, just, and most importantly, just ask God to point out things and show us things. Because we're human. I don't care how saved we are. I don't care how anointed we are. We're human. We will miss things, but God misses nothing.
Outstanding, honey. And I was just about to mention that when I was saying that I don't fully blame mom, but there are just some things that mom probably wasn't aware of, some she's probably never dealt with, that she did miss that sign because she's never dealt with this type of behavior or act in somebody. Right, so there were some signs that she probably missed, and this topic here, us discussing it tonight, is only making parents more aware that hey, you need to, you know, just definitely be cognizant and aware of your surroundings, and make sure that you're seeking out things. If it's something that doesn't look right, sound right, smell right, you know, and doesn't feel right, then you might want to investigate a little bit and go down in the weeds and see what you can find out. But yes, I pray that this young lady, she gets through, you know, because there are probably even people faulting her, you know, because, you know, a lot of the times people are trying to say, well, the little girl was too fast and she was this and that. I pray there's nobody out there doing that. You know, I pray there isn't. But I definitely pray for this young lady's healing and her deliverance from this, because this can take her and into a down a road that she don't never ever want to be on, and she didn't intend on being on if she doesn't get the help that she deserves. So I'm praying that with this story coming out, with this topic coming out through social media, that parents are starting to be more aware of their surroundings. Because one thing I learned as being a sexual harassment and sexual assault response prevention leader in the military, and having to teach about this topic, you know, with it going on with our soldiers with soldiers and their family members and things of that nature. One thing I learned is that sexual harassment, sexual assault, child molestation, things of that nature, it's like it's a never-ending battle. No matter how much you can, bring it to the forefront and talk about it, it's something that seems as if it has an unforeseeable end to it. But what we can do is we can definitely work on being more and more vigilant in preventing this type of behavior from happening. I open up the floor tonight. I'm in line. If there's anyone that has anything they would like to add to it. And I have caller ending at 8277. You're on the air. I'm sorry, I didn't say it earlier, but we just want to just say welcome. Thank you for calling in.
Hi.
Hey,
it's Leandra. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm just listening in on what you're saying, and I agree with. These people like that, they know inside what they are, and they know their true intentions, which is why then they go into positions where most, you know, where they're in a position of power over these people, or where they know that people are going to trust them, or they're going to put their kids in this person's trust because of the job they have, or, you know, or the role in the community. You know, pastors, I know a huge pastor, you know, this is what he did. And people are just, you know, bringing their kids to him, and he's doing different things. And, you know, and it turned out that this is what was happening to a lot of girls, you know, so this is just, you can't trust someone just because of their position. I think this is a good lesson of, you know, you can't trust someone just because of the position they're in. You have to go off of that voice God is giving you and telling you to follow. That's just my opinion.
I agree. Indeed.
Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Did we get cut off?
Yes, our phone went dead. It was just talking. Yes.
I thought it was just me.
I'm so sorry. He had to go run and find another phone. Then I had the phones that should be upstairs, downstairs. Oh, my goodness. So that was my fault. He was just talking. Then he passed me the phone. I'm like, oh, the phone is dead. Oh, my goodness. That was all my fault. I take full responsibility. The other morning, I woke up and all three of the phones were dead. All three.
You've done a lot of talking lately.
Oh, my goodness. So I have to do better. I really, really have to do better with myself. But the next thing we're going to talk about, because, you know, we've been doing our, we've been talking about our parenting, we've been talking about our parenting series and, you know, well, child trauma. And so I found an article that talks about the type of parenting that can cause depression in children. So I thought it was pretty interesting. now, of course, you know, some of these articles, just what they are, articles. But I just wanted to bring it in, just, you know, see what you guys thought about it. Okay, so they're saying that research is showing that a pushy parent can cause depression in children. And that for parents that fail to, you know, have a balance between allowing your child to figure things out and encouraging your child or children, you know, those that have that fail to have that balance can cause kids to be depressed, and that they will be afraid that they won't meet the expectations, you know, of the parents if the parents are, you know, too involved, too intrusive, you know, I guess kind of like the helicopter type parents or whatever. And then they'll feel like they can't meet the standards. They feel like they're not good enough. They may feel like, you know, if they make a mistake, then it's the end of the world. You know, and feel as though they have to be perfect, but we all know that, you know, we're not, no one's going to be perfect. So this was, this is an article that I found on Woman's Day. You guys know me, I like to read articles. And so I thought it was interesting because it's some of what we have been talking about. So then it lists ways of how to motivate your kids without being pushy. To set realistic goals, celebrate their accomplishments, and don't let them quit without a fight. Those are the three things they said. So what do you guys, if anybody, do you all think that could be accurate? That, you know, for parents who are just a bit too pushy, too intrusive, I'll just do it. You know, don't worry about it. I'll do it. That it could possibly lead kids to be depressed. Here it says it can also lead to anxiety and even suicide. Yeah. So what do you guys think about that? If anybody has anything.
Well, I think, oh, go ahead.
I'm just kind of laughing listening to it. But, I mean, yes, I agree. You know, that could lead to that. But I think any parenting style could lead to that. If you have an absentee parent, you know, will be suicidal and whatever else because they're not there. Or, I mean, there's just any type of thing, you know, could lead to a situation like that. And it depends on the child, too. You know, how much they can take and what type of situations they can deal with. I wouldn't necessarily, you know, just completely blame it on the parenting style. I think that's too much credit, you know, you know, like they say, you know, you give the devil too much credit. I think that's too much credit being put on the parent of saying that now you have just led to this. Usually if somebody's committing suicide, it's more than one situation that will cause that. But I have seen kids who are like, oh my God, you know, I'm not smart like my parents want me to be in there. You know, they are depressed, you know, and they really don't know how to handle things. So I mean, I do see that.
Right. I agree. Okay, go ahead, Keisha. What were you going to say?
Oh, I was just going to say that, yes, I agree as well. I think that by behaving or by handling things in that way, you can kind of, you know, diminish their self-esteem or their self-worth and make them feel inadequate. And so I think as a result of that, then, you know, it would possibly lead them to some of those choices. That's all.
Right, and I agree with that too. You said I agree with, you know, what both of you said. I could definitely see that being a factor. You know, and we do want to make sure that we are teaching our kids that we're leading them and not putting too much stress on them, or, you know, just being like, you know what, you just can't get it right. You know, and sometimes we see that in parents that have issues, like OCD issues and stuff. Y'all know some of that the other day, talking about me. But, you know, or have a lack of patience or, you know, something like that. And so because of that, they'll just go ahead and do it, you know, or sometimes they want to live, you know, vicariously through their children, and then, you know, make their children into mini-me's when they want their own, you know, their own identity. So I can see that, you know, going a few factors being man-related to that. But I just thought that was pretty interesting. So, and everything, like I like to say, you know, we just have to find balance. We always have to find balance. Okay. So if no one else has anything to say about that one, we will move on. Okay. So has anybody heard about the Chicago woman that killed her boyfriend by pouring bleach down his throat? Hear about it?
No. Okay. No, I have not.
No. Okay. So, I don't really know what to think about this one. So, there's a 24-year-old Chicago woman. She got into a fight with her 26-year-old boyfriend. Anyway, she ended up overpowering him, and then she forced bleach down his throat.
Mm-hmm.
And he died as a result.
Wow.
Yeah. So, I know we've talked about domestic violence before, and I know a lot of times people think that domestic violence is man, you know, the man is the one, you know, he's the violent one and the violent partner or whatever. And, you know, we talk a lot about, you know, the woman being the victim. But in some cases, now I'm not saying that's the case in this because we don't really know their history. But I will say in some cases, you know, women do abuse men. Again, that is not what I'm saying. It's the case. Because I only know what the story says. I wasn't there, so I don't know. She could have been fed up. But I can tell you this, she really had to have some strength to hold him down and force that bleach down his throat. So,
oh, yeah.
You know, she was really, really upset or fed up or something, but I don't know. And so the autopsy showed that he died from complications from forcible administration of a caustic substance. And his death was, of course, ruled a homicide. So, you know, I really would like to know more of that story. That I would like to know more of their history, you know, for something like that to occur. It just kind of makes me wonder.
Well, in all honesty, just from me reading the story, I definitely see that there's some vital and critical pieces of information that are missing. Granted, you know, just looking at her picture, it's a shoulder headshot. I mean, you know, she may have some size on her. She might be a short person. You just never know. However, I believe that not all women and not all men are weak or strong. I mean, there can be some women that can overpower some men. That's not, and there could be some men that can overpower some women.
Right.
Right? But you all know just as well as I know, I mean, it takes the head and eye coordination for you to even pour a glass of milk or a glass of water, let alone talking about pouring bleach down somebody's face who's probably struggling to move. I don't think that. I think there's some pieces missing to that. Because this guy had to be unconscious, and we're looking at bleach. Now, granted, bleach is a very strong and toxic substance. But you know what I'm saying? But I'm looking at the fact of it being in a liquid form. He could have also died from suffocation because he had liquid that was being forced into his mouth. He could have been unconscious. He could have been unconscious and this happened. We just never know. So there's some things missing that I think that they haven't brought out yet. But I believe in the days and the weeks to come, there's going to be some more information that's going to come out. And I'm almost 75-80% sure this guy had to be unconscious for her to be able to pour this bleach down his throat. And then it just doesn't all add up to me, you know. The one plus two is not equaling three to me in this one. It's like, you know, the one plus three =8, you know. So I mean.
But the question, okay, because I'm dumb to this, so somebody tell me. Okay, but if he was unconscious, I mean, how would it get down?
We still breathe. Our airway is still open when unconscious.
Yeah, but when you have,
when you're unconscious, that just means that you're not cognizant. You're just not aware of your surroundings. You know what I'm saying? Your days and confused, but yet you still breathe. I mean, you still can breathe.
Well, I know.
She might have drugged
him.
Something happened. It's not making sense to me. I'm just.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out how that would have come about as well, because there has to be more to the story, unless maybe he's like a real petite man, and she is not so petite herself, and so she, you know, used her muscles to subdue him.
Yes, yeah, something.
And then you know how they waterboard people, so maybe she did like a waterboarding, but with bleach.
Hmm.
But how much bleach did she have in the house? That's a lot of bleach. Like, you know, you could just pull out the one little thing of bleach.
That would probably be Sam's Club size bleach.
Okay.
I don't know.
I was thinking maybe she mixed it with some water. Maybe it was some bleach water. I don't know. Because I don't buy bleach, you know, by the truckloads. I just have like the small jug. I don't really think that'll get me that far. If I dumped it on somebody, I wouldn't be able to pour it for very long.
You know what? Okay, so now a woman can be small and can overpower a man very easily. I take prednisone,
yep.
And so does my sister. Now, prednisone, and we realize with my sister how strong she was because of the prednisone. It gives you, I mean, it really does. And we're still small, like, you know, 5'2", 150 pounds. But one time she got into trouble with somebody, and they had four police officers trying to hold her down. And these were grown men trying to hold her down, and they couldn't. They were struggling because of the amount of prednisone that she takes. So it is possible. But
absolutely.
I'm going to tell you what I think would happen in this situation. Because I know somebody, and they just did this like 2 weeks ago. There has been this thing going around, and it you when you like Google how to pass a drug test, it says to get if you're taking like a meth, heroin, cocaine or crack, those ones, it says to drink bleach in order to clear your system and to pass a drug test. So I do know someone who drank some bleach to pass a drug test. Now, they did not pass it, but this is
did they also get very sick?
Yes. And I think in this situation, that's what happened. These two looked up online how to pass this, and maybe he was like, okay, I don't know if I can drink this. You got to help me. So she's pouring it down his throat to help him out because that's what I really think happened.
Oh, Jesus.
Whatever happened, that's strange. That's really strange. That's just strange.
Yeah, if
to me.
You Google ways to pass a drug test or a UA, it
and
if,
so really
if you're
people
taking
really do
meth,
that. Like that's just
I know somebody who did it. Absolutely.
And you
yes,
wouldn't
she did.
Think twice before doing that.
But no, okay, now wait a minute. But we're
like
talking
about a reference.
But they told her, well, yeah, it's on Google. So, but okay, but we have to remember.
Wait,
we're talking
she did
about people who are on.
And they told her, oh Lord,
it's
wait,
on
I'm
Google.
Sorry, I'm not gonna talk about your friend. But
yeah,
no, that was
look,
never
I, look, I was talking about him too.
So she did try to do a little recon, and then she got some confirmation from some other people who thought it was also a good idea because it was found on Google. Is that what you're telling me? I just want to make sure I had a fact.
Yeah,
straight.
There's websites.
Okay.
There's websites where people go on and they'll ask, how many Percocets do I have to take to get high? Or how much can I make if I sell my Vicodin on the street? Like, there's websites that answer these questions.
But
the thing is, you have to remember, these are druggies also answering. So,
that's
well, that's true.
What I'm about to
that's
say,
true.
But it's probably also some people trying to make fun of other people. Like, I think
it
if
could
I answered a question like that, I would probably hit it with a smart answer just to see how many people would really, really do it. Like, I just you going to hit me back with a review after you try it? Yeah. So, okay.
Yeah, that bleach thing, that's a little bit too much. Ooh, okay. Well, I do think that it's probably going to come out to me more. If we have anybody listening, y'all please don't drink no bleach. I mean, they got for nothing. Please don't drink no bleach. Lord have mercy. That and so look,
on the bottom, make me harmful if swallowed.
It is going to be harmful. So Keisha sends me this text while we're on the phone. Somebody, I remember you used to bleach everything. I still do. Look, I stopped at one point, y'all, when Jeremiah was little because I wanted this natural
kid. Yeah,
I
remember all your rags used to be covered in bleach discolored because you don't use them. And bleach everywhere. Oh, my God. It don't matter what. Just bleach. Bleach every doggone well.
Feel bleach like that. Oh, yes.
It sounds like my mom. I feel like she uses bleach for her air freshener sometimes. It's so much bleach.
Just feel like the house don't smell clean. Let it smell like bleach.
You sound just like her.
I'm going to need you to get another scent. Pine salt will do the trick. At least that don't jack up all your clothes.
Oh, no. No. No, I do put pine salt in my laundry since you turned me on to that years ago. But that's about it. I don't use it for anything else. And I still have bleached up pants. I be bleaching up their stuff sometimes every now and then. I don't know. I'm like, how I bleached up this shirt?
See? That's what I'm talking about right there. That's it.
I have no idea. But we do want to say this. We do want to make sure that we, going back to this, that we do pray for this young man's family because that is a very sad, that's a and her family as well because she's about to go to prison, but for his family for, the loss. And that was just, that's just horrific. That really is. So hopefully the truth will come out more will come out, rather, you know, to that story. Hey, Mish.
Hey, Pastor, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Hello. I'm good.
Good.
You know,
all right.
I was laughing at the lady who was speaking about how she possibly poured that bleach down his throat. That was funny.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I mean, even though
she killed that man.
Even though the situation is sad, but the scenario she gave, I was like, okay.
Yeah, it just
a little funny.
Yeah, something had to be missing to that. That's just, I don't know. That's just beyond my comprehension.
It's like that sometimes. You know, people are trying to pass these drug tests, and I mean, it all depends on what drug you're taking, but there's some that'll help you, that at least your pee will come out diluted, so you don't have to get it that extreme.
No. Mm-mm. Nope. You don't need that job. Not if you got to drink bleach.
Okay. Mm. And my thing is, just stop smoking for 30 days. Be out your system.
Yeah. Yep. If you stop doing for 30, then you can stop for 60, you know. But definitely do not.
You know. Exactly.
Oof. Do not drink bleach.
Right.
Well, you know, I learned the best way to beat a drug test is not do drugs. And if you're doing a drug and you really want to pass this test, stop doing drugs. Because some people are dying, you know, and Lily, that's true. You got some people that will go to extreme measures to try to get this job and get their foot in the door only to continue doing, you know, those street recreational pharmaceuticals. I just put it in that test. So, yeah, I've seen some people go to extreme measures too, drinking bleach, you know, all kinds of stuff too. So, yeah, it does have harmful effects and it can cause some bad things to happen.
Yep. Yeah, he scared me. I just saw how I was looking at him because I didn't know what he was about to say. Whew, okay. You did good, babe. You did good. So listen, for parents and those of us with nieces and nephews, there is a new social media challenge that is putting kids in the hospital. It's called Salt and Ice. You guys heard about that? Anybody know about that?
It makes dry ice.
It's a salt and ice challenge.
The item is to get the ice to water. And
go ahead.
What I know about salt and ice, and this is just, you know, some people actually use dry ice, and in the air conditioning industry, they use dry ice. But, salt and ice mixed together, basically the iodine mixes with the frozen water, and it causes ice to get really, really cold, and it becomes what they consider dry because it starts to absorb the water content out of it. And that hydrogen and that water mixing together actually is what makes it give you frostbite and things of that nature.
So your kids are going in the hospital, and because, you know, their skin is getting numb, they don't realize that they are giving themselves second-degree burns. It's saying that permanent damage can occur within 5 to 10 minutes. And, you know, I don't know why social media is something else, but, you know, the kids are going on social media, and they're posting pictures of their burns, which, of course, is encouraging other kids to take part in the challenge. So, you know, for those of us with children that may
want.
That has to be
a psychological
thing. Like, why do you want all those marks on your body? Why do you want to be burned? Why?
You beat me to it because I can't understand for the life of me why you would want to be burned.
Yeah, like, why do you want to put yourself in that pain?
Well, I don't
we have to keep in mind, ladies, we have to keep in mind, it's not necessarily that the kids want to be burned, but they want to fit in.
I don't want to fit in looking like I'm a burn station. I'm good.
I'm gonna need you not to want to, at our age. I need you not to want to fit in like that.
That was the conversation we had earlier. Like, I need
not
people to come out their shell. You know, I teach my kids to have their own identity. Don't follow the crowd. Be who you are. If they like it, they'll hang with you. If they don't, then so be it.
I agree. You know, we teach ours the same thing. That hasn't kicked in. You know, I think some kids get it. Some kids are like that, you know. They're not, you know. We teach ours
right.
The same thing. But, honey.
Okay.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that. And, I mean, that's crazy ridiculousness right there.
Yeah.
This. Yeah. So
you, know,
you
like
all
said,
this just goes back to what we were talking. Right. So this just all goes back to what we were talking about earlier. No matter how great you raise your kids, peer pressure is always going to be the enemy and the factor that parents are going to have to deal with. And that's even when your children reach adulthood, because I'm telling you, y'all. I'm sure y'all probably didn't see me post on Facebook a couple of times how bad peer pressure is in adults than it is in kids. But this right here is crazy. I mean, you're basically, you're damaging your body for the sake of a, ooh, man, that's cool, that's hot, that's funny, yay, man, I'm going to try that. Peer pressure can cause our children, no matter how we're raised, we just have to pray. Lord, we have to pray where I see it. That's why God gave it to us. Pray what I see, Lord Jesus. Cause, woo, your kids sleep, you got to pray over them. Your kids awake, you got to pray over them. Your kids leave the house, you got to pray over them. Your kids gone and they ain't been home all day, you got to pray over them even while they gone. Because stuff like this is happening all the time. Parents, let's just, Lord Jesus, let's show them what ice and the salt really is to you by showing it on something else. Maybe they'll get it. Sometimes y'all know,
cream.
You know, with some kids, you know, common sense ain't so common no more. And sometimes the car running, but ain't nobody in there driving it, you know, if you know what I mean. So sometimes they just do anything to get attention. And we need to, and that ain't even necessarily an issue of you had a helicopter-type parent, you had a permissive-type parent, you had a strict-type parent. You can be any one of the above dimension. And your children can just have a friend that they just run behind and think that friend is so cool, and that friend can convince them to do some of the dumbest things just to get them to be their friend.
Well, now, yeah, I teach my kids, like, your body is important. You know what I mean? Like, you know how you fell and got that brush burn? Yeah, don't let nobody talk you into that, because when I have to clean it and you're like, the peroxide's burning, remember that. You know, my mom told me alcohol leaves scars. I have girls that are rough and tumble. You know, they'll come home, oh, mom, I'm bleeding. They won't be crying. You know, I'll clean it out, look it up, send them back out.
No, he's not. He would use alcohol, but
I use
peroxide, so that's what I use.
Okay. No, I was just sharing what my mom had told me, so I definitely don't use alcohol. But you have to talk to your kids. Like, people got to start talking to their kids. Like, talk to them, you know, real talk. This is what the world is going to be. You know, and I didn't realize when I was younger, my mom was telling me different things, you know what I mean? And, you know, it's always like, if I'd have known back then what I know now, my life would probably be a lot different.
Right. Yep.
Yep. And we do. We have to talk to them and keep paying attention because sometimes, you know, you talk to them, they still do things. It's just hard. It's hard. It was hard when we were growing up, but I think it's even harder now. The peer pressure, the bullying, the cyberbullying, you know, with social media, this has just put a whole new twist on things. And you know, not only are kids mean, adults are mean. Adults are right.
Glory.
They are just as bad, if not worse, you know, than the kids. Some of the things they say and do on social media and making fun of people's children, and you know, it's just ridiculous, the society that we live in now. So, you know, we definitely have to be aware of those things. And you know, when I run across them, I'll post them on my page, make sure I bring them to the show, you know, so we can be aware of these things and talk to our kids about them. Because, you know, it's really sad. All right, the last thing I'm just going to touch on because I want to do a show on this, actually. There was a man arrested in Georgia. He had, after eight women were found captive in a Georgia home, and they're looking, you know, they're suspecting that it is a possible human trafficking case. There was a 20-year-old woman. She called the Georgia dispatcher and told him that she was being held against her will and that it wasn't just her. And he was living with, he had them in a $1 million luxury home in the suburbs of Atlanta. So, of course, again, this goes back to somewhere people probably would not expect. And he's facing five counts of false imprisonment, five counts of trafficking persons for labor, and two counts for possession of a firearm and the commission of a felony. And he's 33 years old. The women were, they range from ages 19 to 22. So this is going to be another show that we're going to do soon, talking about human trafficking. Because this is something that it's becoming more and more common. People are, well, it's already been out there, but people are starting to talk about it even more. We're hearing a lot about it, and that's, you know, some of these young ladies, even the young boys that are missing, some of them have, you know, they've been kidnapped for trafficking purposes, and some of these families will never see their children again. You know, they sell them and, you know, just all kinds of horrible things. So, we're going to do a show on that. And, again, you know, we have to go back to prayer, being aware.
You know,
and go ahead.
I was gonna say, not only that, you know, I have a friend that goes in and rescue these young girls. And it's dangerous because they have to rush in and rush right out. And, you know, just have to be on time. They have to be on point. They can't make no mistake because their lives are at danger.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And their lives are in danger. And then if they find out someone's onto them, they will take those, they will take their victims and they will leave. And they may not be tracked down again. And so I commend your friend on that. That takes a lot of courage. It really does. That's a dangerous, dangerous job. And it's just so sad, the disrespect that we have for life and for people, you know, and they take these young ladies and young men, and they take them away from what they've always known, take away their innocence and change their lives forever, and they don't care. It's all about money. All about money. Mm-hmm. And that's why the Bible says that the love of money is the root of all evil. Because when you are willing to do something like that for money, that's very, very sad. It's sad. So we're going to do a show on that. But this, too, you guys will find this story on my page. I also posted on the Family Matters with Kenny and Quadron page if you want to
to read more about it. And, yeah, we will have a show coming up on that. But
they have
Go ahead.
I was about to say, I was looking it up while we were on the phone, and they made reference to his Instagram page, saying how his Instagram page just kind of gives you a little bit of insight, not a whole lot, but a little bit of insight as to what was going on. And so I pulled it up, and he have a lot of girls on here, a lot of women on here, just pictures of them, and basically it looked like he pimping them out.
Yeah, he was.
That's what he's doing, yeah.
Mhm. Yep.
But I'm
did.
Just saying from the Instagram page, like I know that's what he was doing, but on the Instagram page, if you didn't see anything else and you just saw this, it would look kind of like, what is going on?
Yeah, it's crazy. And I think he had some of them to get plastic surgery and.
Wow.
Yeah. It's crazy. Yeah. Threatening. It's sad. It's really sad. But I thank God that, you know, that one of the victims, that she found the courage, that she found the way, you know, to make a call, not just for herself, but for the rest of the young ladies, and that he's caught. And I hope that now, since he's in custody, that they will find others that he may be connected to, if he's connected to anybody.
Yep.
Because this is something that we definitely need to talk about even more. It's something that has to, we definitely have to talk about, because this is just, it's crazy. It's crazy. You know, it used to be a time you just thought it was something we saw on the movies. But no, this is something that's happening every day in our cities, you know, and in our states, our cities. It's right here. You know, it's right here, and it's just sad. It's really sad.
Yeah, that's awful.
Faye, since we have you on the line tonight, Kenny wanted to know if you could give us an update on Brooklyn. Have you talked to her?
Brooklyn is up talking. She's in rehab. She's doing good.
Good. Brooklyn was the young lady, you guys, I don't know if you guys remember us talking about, but she was delivering pizza, and she was shot. So thank God that she survived. They finally got the second suspect.
I'm going to find this video where her and her aunt was on talking, and I will send it to you.
Okay, I saw one a while back. But yes, if you could do that, I would appreciate it. Thank you. I would appreciate it. So we thank God for moving on her behalf, and, you know, that's a blessing, because a lot of people wouldn't survive anything like that. It's definitely a miracle. That's a miracle. All right, ladies. Well, thank you all for calling in. We appreciate you guys. We're going to go ahead and sign off tonight so I can finish my homework. And
okay. Have a great day.
You all, too. And we hope you guys have a wonderful weekend.
You too.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.